Matthew 16, lesson 50. As we study the Word of God, rightly divided through the book of Matthew, we're learning some great things as we find out what the writer Matthew is portraying the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And last week we left off in verses 16, chapter 16, 1 through 4. And we also looked at the fact that the Pharisees came back and the Sadducees came back to the Lord Jesus Christ, tempting him and desiring him to show them a sign from heaven. And these are religious leaders that are supposed to lead the nation Israel nationally. They're the ones that had the Word of God. They're the teachers of Israel. So if anybody should have recognized who Jesus Christ was, who should it have been? Them. So they come to him again, asking him for a sign from heaven. Now, in the book of Matthew, the only place you find about the kingdom of heaven, that's the only place it's written. So here's God's Son, the King of Kings, and their Messiah on this earth, and we're in chapter 16. And would you think from chapter 4 to this time right now, would they had not have seen a lot of signs to show that he is God? And should they have not have recognized a lot of things that, hey, he is the Messiah, we need to follow him? But they didn't, did they? And I love the fact that he says, and then he answered them, verse 2, and he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Verse 3, and in the morning it will be foul weather to the day, for the sky is red and lowering. Well, what was that saying? Sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morn, sailor's delight. That's what it's saying. And it's also saying, what did he say to them? O ye brothers and sisters in Christ. O you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And he says, verse 4, and a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he had left them and departed. That's all he said to them. But what did he call it? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after sign. You know, I hate to say that, but a lot of people looking for signs today, aren't they? And they will not trust, and as we left off last week, there's one sign you point to in the dispensation of grace, and it's the cross. That's the sign that people need to see. That's the sign that people are saved by. Amen? So go to verse 6. Well, we're going to read 5 through 10. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they have forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reasoning ye among yourself because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets have ye taken up? You know, the disciples forgot to take bread. And so that when he mentioned about the bread of the, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, they're thinking that's what he was talking about. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you think about it, did he not feed them? And they're worried about taking a loaf of bread? That sounds like me getting ready to leave out on a trip. You know, I got to pack my goods. And if I don't take them, what am I going to do? And where am I going to stop? Especially if you go to a route that you're not familiar with. Jesus warns them and to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples amongst themselves start the reasoning. You know, that's a mistake. Because who gave them? He just told them, who fed you 5,000? Who fed 4,000? And that Jesus speaking on the leaven because they forgot the bread. Lord Jesus Christ rebukes the disciples and says they are not walking by faith. Now, even in the kingdom program, and the Lord Jesus Christ is with them, they should walk by what? Faith. And learning the things that Jesus is teaching them. And he's saying, why worry about the literal bread when he's already proven that he can feed the multitudes? True or false? True, isn't it? Verse 11 and 12. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That's little bread, right? That ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because guess what? Who came to him in verse 16? Chapter 16, verse 1 through 4. The Pharisees and Sadducees. They're coming to attack him again. So he's telling them, hey, over and over, you're going to be attacked by these. Beware of that doctrine. Jesus explains the leaven to beware of, and it is doctrine. It's their teachings. You know, when I started understanding dispensational truth, that word doctrine kept coming up over and over and over. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, what is that? It's teachings. We have a doctrinal statement of faith. You and your jobs, and you have a doctrine that governs you and tells you how to do things. Believe it or not, it's teachings. Somebody's teaching you something. And it is teaching of the religious leader. Go to Luke chapter, hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. The disciples understood when they looked to the Lord for understanding. When they started reasoning amongst themselves, they couldn't figure it out. They thought they was talking about real bread. But when they understood started to understand what Jesus said, they understood that it wasn't literal eating bread. It's the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let's look at something right quick. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Now, who did he say to beware of? The Pharisees and who? The Sadducees, and we're going to add a couple more in a little bit, and you may see that's going on today. But look, chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitudes of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's what they taught. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ looked at that leadership as. So, Pharisees' leavens equals what? Hypocrisy, correct? And then you know what that is? It's a show of flesh. Look at me. It's an outer display of self-righteousness. I'm holier than thou. You ever know anybody like that? You can't touch me. I'm going to tell you what to do. And it's without a heart attitude. And it's a formalism. It's religion. You can find that today in certain religions. They may not call themselves Pharisees. Well, I will take this back. We went and listened to a guy preach up the street here one time. Well-known guy. And he taught Sunday night. And he said, JJ probably remember this. His title was, out of all the people in the Bible, he wanted to be a Pharisee. And I'm like, huh? And he went on to talk about how they were. You know, if you're going to be anybody in the Bible, you would want to be one of these guys in the flesh and stuff. And afterwards, we had a slight conversation because he didn't give the gospel. And I was worried about that, yeah. But anyway, he wanted to be a Pharisee. You could see why. You're lifting yourself up. Matthew 22. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 22. verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him. So you got a group of leaders in Israel that don't believe in the resurrection. Now, what would that do to your doctrine today? The shatter. There's people out there that does that, though. And so Matthew 22:23 equals materialism, humanistic, liberalism, no resurrection. Man is all there is, and that is who we will focus on, just like the young lady we prayed about today. It's all about her. And that's the attack on the from the beginning, that there's God's view, Satan's view, and then there's human viewpoint. And when you get human viewpoint, they don't believe the word of God. They discredit it. Look at me. It's all about me. They become gods. I've seen that happen in these institutions out there. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You go there knowing that your faith is in Jesus Christ, and you get taught a different doctrine. And next thing you know, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know God the Creator, but yet, and guess what? You can't take that book in there or talk about it, but what do? They teach you their God. And they teach you that you can believe in a God, but you can't believe in God the Creator. That's why I'm very, very particular about when you ask somebody, and we ask somebody about, do you believe in God or Jesus Christ and all that stuff? Hey, there's many gods out there. As we read and going through Romans today, we're looking at Pharaoh next week and stuff, and you can see that Pharaoh was a god. And many people looked at him as a god. But we also know when the Lord Jesus Christ, where God Almighty, picked up Moses and said, you go in there and let my people go, told Pharaoh, he had attacked 10 other gods that are there. So you got to be very, very careful in the fact that who your focus is on. Mark chapter 8. But you know, if you've got this any type of this doctrine inside of you, who Jesus Christ was, even though you go to those institutions and they'll teach you that, and you come out, and if you've got a mind, you can start discerning and knowing that it's been a lie. But as you was in there, you had to buy into that lie, didn't you? Well, some of you didn't. Some of you said, hey, you know, I'm going to do this to pass, but I don't believe this doctrine. Mark 8:15. And he charged them, taking heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, in Matthew, we're not talking about Herod, but here's a leaven of who? Herod. You know what that is? We talked about this maybe time too. It's worldliness. It's political. So here's a doctrine of worldliness and political that will affect your Christian life, if you will, or affect those kingdom saints. A couple more. You can be turning back to Matthew 16. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about the leaven of the Corinthians. And you know what that is? That's leaven of morality. Hey, you let that in there, guess what happens? A little leaven leavens what? The whole lump. Now, you ready to believe it or not, but I believe that. And I believe that little leaven from back here at the beginning, as we studied this morning about him taking a nation, and it was their service, elected them for service, they let little leaven come in that lump, and he leavened the whole lump, and they became apostated. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about the leaven of the Galatians, and that leaven is legalism. So don't think that you can't get this leaven come into this church if you wanted to, or into your own lives. You can. And you need to learn to discern that. You know, you're a baker. You know what leaven will do and what leaven ought to do. You know, it can rise or unrise. But he told them no leaven. Man, that's sticking to me. Because as I grow, as Paul grew, and we grow, you can understand what Paul went through, and you can understand what he was up against. He was up against a lot of doctrine, wasn't he? You know, that man started over 10 churches. He wrote 10 letters to churches and 3 to men. 10 is the number of Gentiles. He wrote 3 to men. 13 is the number of rebellion. And every one of them, towards the end, he said, nobody, all of them forsook me, didn't he? You think about that. You know, he probably had, well, he had people crying on his neck, weeping. Don't go, Paul. Don't go. And he said, at my first glance, all have forsaken me. Except who? Lord Jesus Christ. You do it because of Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Matthew. Matthew 16. That leaven is very, very important, and he's warning them that. It's funny how he used leaven and bread in that whole context, huh? Go to chapter 16, verses, read down through 13 through 17. And when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a good question, isn't it? He's been with them all this time. He's testing them. Who do you say I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to me, but my Father which is in heaven. Now Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answered, who? John the Baptist? Elijah? Jeremiah, or some prophet. And Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Peter, without a stutter, says what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, bless you, Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You know who gave him a divine revelation? God the Father did. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. So he acknowledged that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe at this point, there's no doubt in my mind, Peter's a saved individual. Jesus was the Christ, was he not? Matthew 11, 27. Hold your finger and go Matthew 11, 27. Matthew 11, 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There you go. Only the Father in heaven revealed it to Peter, and Peter said, you're the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a divine revelation. I know somebody else gets one later on down the road. That's a divine revelation. Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is Israel's King. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 41. John chapter 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. Not a rock, a stone. You got to remember that as we work down through here, because it's going to mess up people's religion out there, what they put Peter as. Verse 47. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Was that Nathanael? Saying to him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before thou, Philip, was called." Go to 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." So they're seeing who he is and acknowledging who he is. Go back to Matthew. Peter is given a special divine revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ from God the Father and about the kingdom church. Not the body of Christ, but the kingdom church. And God the Father is about the kingdom church at this time, is he not? You got to close this up. This is what God is dealing with in the prophetic program. The mystery program was not revealed yet. So he's dealing with a kingdom program. The kingdom is at hand as we looked at, correct? It's at hand. It's never being offered yet, but it's at hand. And it compares to Paul giving his divine revelation about the church, the body of Christ. Did Paul get a revelation? Okay. Go to Galatians. You're going to see us. Go to Galatians. Let's compare this a minute. He got a revelation about the church, the body of Christ, from God the Father and God the Son, if you will, as he was in heaven, not on this earth. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Let's just compare that revelation. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 15. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." He got a revelation even in the womb. Go to verse 11. Same chapter, verse 11. "But I certify you, brethren, that this gospel which was preached of me is not after..." Now, how many know what certification is? You do, don't you? Many of us has to be certified to work on machines or look at gauges or drive trucks or insurance or, you know, nursing, you know, that type of thing. You have to be certified. But he certified and preached that this gospel was not after who? Man. "For neither received it a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of" who? Jesus Christ. So Paul gets a revelation from who? Jesus Christ. He didn't get no revelation or was taught by man. Now, who you suppose those men were that could teach Paul? You would say for religious leaders, the prophets, the apostles. See, that's what a lot of people say. See, Peter, James, and John, and Paul, they taught the same gospel. They taught the same message. That's error. Keep reading. "For ye have heard my conversation in times past in the Jews' religions." There's your Pharisees. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was working up through the religious system. He was going to be named the next, probably head priest. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now, was there a church back there when he was... wasting it when he was persecuting people? Yes, they were. It was called a kingdom church. And we're going to see in a little bit there's a church in the wilderness, there's a kingdom church, and a body of Christ. Three of them. "And a prophet in the Jewish religion above many of my equals in my own nation." There's prophet in religion. I guess you guys didn't know that, did you? That's why I drive those big fine cars out there. That's why I get my... driveway pay. Thank you, sister. You know, I got several garages. There's profit in that religion. You know that. Many of you help support that type of stuff. But verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace," why? "To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So even when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed that to him, he did not confer it with who? flesh and blood. Now, who would that be? That's the only one it could be. Simon Bar-Jonah, get Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Listen, it's a wonderful fact that we have the Word of God. Now, me and you can dispute about it all day long. We can argue over verses. It says this or it don't say that. But you know what? The final authority is this book. And I have it today in the English language, and it disturbs me how people want to put it back into Hebrew and Greek. Just because they got a degree more than you and I. That's wrong. Because when you have to take the Word of God that you already have in your possession and turn it back into Hebrew and Greek, you're saying you don't have the Word of God. That's wrong. I have the Word of God, and I am very thankful. I wish it was in Southern English sometimes, which sometimes it is written that way, I reckon. So, but Simon Bar-Jonah, Bar means son, and means Cephas, which is interpret. What did he say? Cephas was going to be interpret a stone, not a rock. We may not cover that today, but you're going to have to see this, which means Peter. Simon Bar-Jonah is his name in the flesh. God changed his name to Cephas, Peter. You ever notice that? Paul was named who? Saul in the flesh. But who did God change his name to? Paul. Very, very important to understand that. You know, your name has been changed, not to protect the innocent. Your name's been changed to saint of the Most High God. You know, people argue about titles, bishops, pastors, you know, brothers, elders, and stuff like that. But we are saints of the Most High God. And we should walk around as if we are saints of the Most High God. Let's do some more comparison. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Now, we talked about Paul saying to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, chapter 2 is very, very important in Galatians to understand some things. And it may change your life forever or it may not. But look at chapter 2, look at verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took with Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were at reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He pulls them aside to talk to the leaders there. He just didn't pronounce it out there amongst everybody because why? That program that Paul was talking about and that was instituted under grace was not revealed to Peter and them yet. So what if you came in here and you started, you know, it would cause a big corruption and he would have to run for his life. And many of us know Paul did run for his life. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, once again, Galatians chapter 2 goes with Acts 15. There's a conference going on because people didn't have a problem with you trusting Christ dying for your sins, rose again. You had to add works with circumcision.
That was Acts 2.
Acts chapter 15. Verse 4. And they, because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There's people out there watching them because they're not circumcising. They're going against the law. And he says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Boy, that's bold, isn't it? I'm not going to give you 15 minutes on this. Now, how many of us can do that? How many of us would stand up against somebody that, you know, oh, you got to be baptized. You got to be water baptized. You got to keep the law. Are you going to give them an hour? You might show them, well, I beg to differ. Here's verses. You can believe it or not. Talk to you later. You can get in an argument, but what good is it? He gave not an hour for that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, who seemed to be somewhat. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, didn't God, Jesus Christ, give the keys and give the authority to Peter, James, and John and the 12? And Paul's saying, seemed to be somewhat? Something's going on here. Whatsoever, you look at this parenthesis, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's persons. We need to remember that. God don't bless you because he respects you more than he does her. God's not a respecter of persons, and we need to acknowledge that and say, thank God for what I have. You know, nobody wants illnesses. We know that. Nobody wants, you know, loss of jobs. We know that. But God don't respect you more than he does me. That's wrong. That's almost like what you're talking about, the election, predestination, all that stuff. That's wrong. He says, accept no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now here's Peter, James, and John, who seem to be pillars of the church in a big conference. Paul is saying they added what? Nothing to him. But look at the next verse. But au contraire. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision that was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto who? Peter. So how many gospels did you see right there?
Two
of them. That should wake people up. Because was not God, didn't we find out, aren't we learning in Matthew that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises of the fathers? And didn't we find out that God dealt with the circumcision and not the uncircumcision? Yes, I believe so. Go to verse 9. And then when James, Cephas, who's that?
Peter,
the stone. And John, who seemed to be pillars, can't get over that, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the who? Now let me ask you something. Peter got authority? Paul got authority? Are they clashing here? They're not clashing.
They were clashing before
them. Well, it would seem to be. But Peter's got authority for who? The circumcision, okay, circumcision, amen. And or proselytes, because if you believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you believe that the nation Israel was given that system that you need to be saved under, you became a proselyte, and guess what you had to do? You had to be circumcised. You had to become a Jew. Then Paul was authority of the uncircumcision. I'm going to share this with you. Who got divine revelations? Both. Both had divine revelations. Peter's authority, it's going through him first. Paul's authority, it's going through him first. You could see that this might be, well, it's not contradiction, it's equal. And then who's got the kingdom church? Peter or Paul?
Peter.
Who's got the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ? Paul. That's your authority figure. That's who you would go to your, I want to say first line defense, but maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but that's who was authority that God gave on this earth. So you had that. What did he say in verse 9? They gave the right hand of fellowship that we should go into the heathen and they into who? Okay, what do you know about this kingdom program? Okay, it's to the Jews. It's been cut off. It's been set aside. Okay? When they met, and the only thing I can think of in Acts chapter 10, the sheet falling, and God told Peter, kill and eat, what I call clean is unclean, that type of thing. He was informing Peter, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. So when Paul went to Peter And Paul was explaining to Peter and James and John, hey, this is what's happening. Peter didn't rebuke that, did he? Peter didn't rebuke that because he acknowledged who Paul was, that he got a divine revelation, and he's equal with Paul. And guess what they did? They shook hands, the right hand of fellowship, and said that Peter and Barnabas, excuse me, Paul and Barnabas would go to the, and they would go to the, now I want you to think about this. Was God not dealing with the circumcision over here? Okay, you with me? Then they shook hands. And anybody was in that kingdom church, would they be circumcised or uncircumcised? Would they be saved or unsaved? Okay. Anybody outside of that kingdom church, would they be uncircumcised or circumcised? Would they be saved or unsaved? Okay. Those people that's in that kingdom church that God was doing with Peter now are saved people. Everybody outside of that church, that kingdom church, were unsaved people. Agree or disagree? So when they shook hands, anybody outside of that kingdom church would be called what? No. Heathen. That would mean Jew or Gentile. You with me? That's why Paul, when he does get saved, he goes out there, he goes to where? The synagogue. Because he knew they wasn't in that kingdom church.
And they couldn't get in.
He knew that. So he had that new gospel that everybody's uncircumcised. That's why there's no distinction today between Jew and Gentile. That's why you don't put yourself up here on this line with a circumcised kingdom saint, because he's not dealing with that today. So everybody's heathen. That might not mean much to you, but it does to me because it explains to me what they're doing. So when Paul goes out, he's going out with one gospel. And Peter, James, and John, what do they do? But they don't go out no further. They go back and educate that kingdom church, the kings, what Paul is doing. Romans 9, 10, 11. That's why he writes Peter, James, and John's over here. And they're writing what's going on over here. And Peter writes, our beloved Paul wrote some things that was hard for you to understand. Now, when do you think that he wrote some things? People say, well, Hebrews. No, he did not write Hebrews. In the book of Romans, if you come here next Sunday, next couple Sundays or so, you're going to learn Romans 9, 10 and 11 is dealing with that saved group of kingdom saints over here, and Paul is writing to them why God has set them aside, why the kingdom program is postponed. Now that's very, very important, because people's got you going from this kingdom prophesied all the way through, and Paul's Peter preaching the same message, and I heard a radio preacher comes on after us, and it's sickening. It's sickening. Because he's got Paul baptized in the same way Peter did in Acts 2:38. And it's wrong. Did Paul water baptize? Did Paul water baptize? What did he say? God did not send me to baptize, but to what? To preach the gospel. And that's preaching that cross. And then you heard me say this time and time again, that there's people says, well, Paul just didn't have the time, so therefore he had other people baptizing for him. And did John the Baptist have anybody baptizing for him? How about Lord Jesus Christ? How about Peter now? So they try to make different things. Go back to Matthew real quick. That's very, very important to know that comparison. Comparison, yes. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 explains to that kingdom Jew or Israel, or the kingdom saint, if you want to call them saints, which they are, why God has set them aside. And he's no longer dealing with them, but the heathen are going to provoke the unbelieving Jew to jealousy to get in the body of Christ. So there's a program. See, this may disturb a lot of people, but I'm okay with it. There was this way of salvation for not only Jew and Gentile in times past. There's a way for salvation, Jew and Gentiles, but now, and there's going to be a way of salvation for Jew and Gentile in ages to come. God is not a respecter of person. Not a respecter of person. So that tells me there he gives everybody. What's the unpardonable sin? No. What's the unpardonable sin today? What's that? There is none today other than
rejecting Christ. Just a letter.
But you still, if you reject Christ, you still have an opportunity to accept them, trust them. To die unsaved is unpardonable.
Well, that's what we're saying.
No, you didn't. You're saying you can reject.
You're saved through Jesus Christ on the shed blood on the cross.
Yes.
All right, if we believe that, we're saved.
Amen. But what's the unpardonable sin today? You're saying.
If you don't accept Christ in his blood.
But you still got a chance before you die. What I'm getting at, you still have a chance to hear the gospel on your deathbed. You can be saved. If you die unsaved, that's unpardonable. Yeah. Back in the past, you talk about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. That was unpardonable for this group of people here. That's why Paul says, I was a blasphemer. And Lord took that person and gave him a special revelation, a special message that even today you can be saved by trusting Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Father, we thank you for the day and we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.